Blog Talk Radio.
Of the CNC Football Factory. I am your host, CJ DeSimone, and I am joined, as always, by my co-pilot, my partner in crime, and most of all, one of my best friends, Carlos the Kristaps Porzingis Sardinis, ladies and gentlemen. Carlos, what's going on?
This is a different situation. I'm driving to your studio right now, so I'm joining you via the telephone, got the speaker on, the radio down, ready for some Jets Giants. I did want to just mention real quick, my favorite singers of all time just passed away, which is why we had the STP playing the intro song today. Scott Weiland, dead at 48, happened, I think, Friday. Just real tough for any of his fans. Back in the day, one of the best singers, such a talent. Honestly, he was really such a talent that he did well despite himself and his self-destructive behavior. So I wanted to mention that. Now we could talk some Jets Giants.
Absolutely. But before we do that, I do want to give another shout-out to a couple of people listening to the show. One of them, her name is Ardith Bromley Rousseau. I gave her a shout-out last week, but I was incorrect in a little bit of bio about her. I found out that she actually still is a Jets fan, also likes the Steelers as well. And one of her favorite players growing up, believe it or not, was a gentleman by the name of... I believe Rocky, I want to say Rocky Smith. He wore number 29. He was drafted 10th round out of Tennessee, Chattanooga. So I do want to make a correction on that. And this is for Ardith here.
So,
and
CJ,
I also want to give out another. Yes.
We got another one. Nope, go ahead.
Okay. Also want to give out another shout-out to a young gentleman who my parents ran into when they went to their doctor's appointments this week. His name is Mark, and he and I used to work together at Circles of Care Pharmacy here in Brevard County, Florida, and now he's working for Quality Medical Care. He's an avid listener of the show and a huge fan. So, Mark, this one's for you, brother. All right, and that's all the shout-outs that we got today. So, Carlos, okay. You and I, we're going to be dissecting Snoopy Bowl Part 2, Jets-Giants. Jets coming
before
off
we get
a
to
huge
that,
I wanted to
get into the dumbest tweet / Facebook posting / media posting of the week, and I would say this one is of the year.
Okay.
There's a couple different folks, and one of them on Twitter, me and Jay from NewYorkJetsFans.com, we're getting into it with this guy. Pretty good guy other than this one tweet. Him and also Al's Boring tweet, who happens to be producer for the Boom and Carton Show, happen to believe that Darrell Revis is faking his concussion because he got burned by DeAndre Hopkins 2 weeks ago. And they claim that he does this on a regular basis after he gets burned. So apparently you can fake concussion symptoms. You can fake having your head hurt with the lights on. I did not know that. You two are nominated for the dumbest tweet of the year. You can't fake a concussion. Sorry.
Yeah, you really can't. That's just an absolute friggin' mess. I actually saw some of the Twitter correspondence going back and forth. I did not partake or get to interject in it, but I did get to read some of it on the timeline, and some of it just completely left me scratching my head. Although I do have to say props to Jay for that huge picture that he put up there of the Twitter board with a pair of sunglasses holding a sign, "Think before you tweet." So Jay, huge shout out to you from NewYorkJetsFans.com. That was an awesome picture. I actually saved it to my phone. That's how cool the picture was. But, yeah, definitely, I mean, come on now. Darrelle Revis faking a concussion because he got burned. I highly doubt that. If that was the case, that he was mad that he would gotten burned, he would have taken himself out of the game saying, Coach, I can't go. I just think otherwise, you know, that's just completely ridiculous. I mean, Darrelle Revis is a huge competitor, fiery competitor, wants to go out there, wants to win, wants to be successful, you know, and continue to stake his claim as the best cornerback in the NFL. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand where all that talk is coming from, but.
Yep. And also, I wanted to give a shout-out to the checkout boy at 7-Eleven, just because. Did a good job. He checked me out, got me some beer.
Yes, that's anyway, for the checkout guy at 7-Eleven, just because. All right.
You know,
dope.
And also, the bum that was panhandling in front of 7-Eleven, I gave him like $5, so shout out to him, too.
Nice. There we go. But I'm not giving him a Jets chant today. Sorry.
Why not? Well, he probably can't hear us because he's homeless, so yeah.
Right, exactly.
We're talking about Revis here, and obviously he's out. I think the other thing that actually concerns me even more than just Revis being out is Marcus Williams is also out. So we're left out there with Darren Walls, I believe, and Crow versus Beckham in the bunch. I'm worried about
that. Right, exactly. And then I also hear that they're going to be shifting around Buster Screen. I think Buster Screen and Darren Wald's combination is going to be shadowing Odell Beckham Jr. For this game. By the way, you know, Jets Giants being played MetLife Stadium 1 p.m. today, going to be televised on WCBS TV New York. You know, another thing, the Jets are going to be the road team in this one. So which is always. You know, fascination that, you know, when you play in your own home, you know, when you play in a stadium where you share with another team, but yeah, you're the road team. So, you know, again, it's going to be, I expect there to be just as many Jet fans as there are Giant fans. I expect that place to be loud. I expect that place to be crazy. You know, this is going to be an interesting task for the Jets to see if they can maintain, you know, the positive strides that they took last week. And yes, I have to take, I got to eat some crow last week, okay? Because
yes,
I predicted
right.
that
Everyone
the Jets
doubting.
Would lose. Right. I predicted that the Jets would lose 17-14, okay, to the Miami Dolphins, and they completely went out and they completely took them apart. If you actually take a look at the two games versus Miami, statistically, they were the best games overall by the New York Jets this season. So
that's right. I wish we could play them every game.
Right.
Every week, and play the Dolphins.
You know, again,
16-0.
This was something that, you know, I was skeptical about because of the fact and the reason why, you know, I'm not going to justify that I picked them to lose, because you guys already know the reason why I picked them to lose is because for the past 5 weeks prior to that, they did not show a shred of evidence that they were going to come out and have the type of performance that they had against Miami. So whatever adjustments that Todd Bowles made, you know, prior to the Miami game, they obviously worked. Now, you know, that being said, Miami's a fucking dumpster fire too. Okay, so they, on paper, this team should friggin' win. But then again, on paper, we should have beaten the Texans. We should have beaten the Bills. Okay, we should have beaten the Patriots. Okay, so, you know, again, I just finding that the argument that I put out there several weeks now starting to come to fruition, where teams on paper where the Jets match up against these people statistically and eclipse them statistically doesn't always translate onto the field. So now you have a team where in the Giants, they're 5-6, they're tied for first in the NFC East, they lost a huge game to the dumpster fire that is the Washington Redskins, that now the Redskins, by percentage points, are actually leading the NFC East. So who would have saw this coming? All right, so you know, I mean, this right now, believe it or not, is a make-or-break game for both the Jets and the Giants. And the Jets got a huge, huge break because of the fact that the Steelers lost to the Seahawks. Okay, Kansas City was actually able to handle their business. Oakland came from behind and beaten Tennessee on a bad call. And, you know, I mean, essentially right now, if you take a look at the playoff picture, you know, your number five spot is the Kansas City Chiefs. The number six spot is the Houston Texans. And then right underneath the Houston Texans is the New York Jets. You know, so, you know, Pittsburgh actually dropped beneath us. So, you know, right now, this is where, you know, this game lies critical, not just for one team, for both teams, you know, in their pursuit of being able to play in the playoffs this year.
That's right, CJ. And I am approaching the studios right now. I'm slowly descending on the undisclosed bunker that is the studio. And
that's right.
We'll be approaching in person here in a few minutes. So if you heard the beeper going off, that was my car letting me know that I don't have my seatbelt on. And that was not a well-timed drop at all. So I'll be right in.
Yeah, not a problem. So as we move on, you know, the Jets-Giants game, you know, it's very, very interesting because of the fact we've dubbed it the Snoopy Bowl. Well, for those who don't know what the Snoopy Bowl is, every preseason the Jets and the Giants, they always play one another. And, you know, traditionally it's called the Snoopy Bowl for a reason. And it's called the Snoopy Bowl because of the fact that there is the coveted MetLife Snoopy Trophy, which is always up for grabs, okay? So any time that the Jets and the Giants play one another, I guess not only for just bragging rights within the city, but also this coveted trophy always gets passed to the winner. Now, you know, the Jets have won the past few times. The Giants have won the past few times. So, you know, they've passed back and forth to they've passed through the ires of mediocrity and so on and so forth. But nevertheless, they've gotten themselves to the point now where this Snoopy Bowl trophy during the regular season is now very, very important. But this is an interesting matchup, as I just alluded to before. Both of these teams right now are fighting for playoff position. Again, as I reiterated, Giants in a first-place tie in the NFC East. Jets are fighting for a wild card spot. Got some major help last week with a couple losses, along with helping their own cause by beating up on the Miami Dolphins. This is going to be an interesting matchup versus the New York Jets defense and the secondary, which is kind of, sort of, but slowly getting back to being healthy again after the attrition over the past few weeks. You know, and now a Giants offense, which is still in a state of struggling a little bit. So I am now joined here by my esteemed co-host, Carlos, the Cuban Kristaps Porzingis Sardinas.
Yeah, the Cuban Kristaps Porzingis. There's plenty of those 7'3" Polish people in Cuba.
Right, exactly. So, nevertheless, as we move on, our apologies if the sound drops off a little bit. You know, as we just started talking about, I mean, you know, we pretty much alluded to the importance of this game, not only from a Jets standpoint, but also from a Giants standpoint.
The thing, everyone just needs to get it through their thick freaking skull. Every game from here on out is a must-win. So I don't want to hear the term, oh, it's a must-win game. Guess what? They all are. If you want to compete in the wild card, you have to win. You have to win out, period.
Right.
Kansas City's on fire. Pittsburgh's still there. Oakland has tiebreakers on us. Houston has tiebreakers on us.
Right.
Now, the good thing that may happen is that Houston could possibly overtake Indy and make them a wild card, which would mean we have a tiebreaker over them.
Right, because we did beat them earlier in the season.
So anyway, we could sit here and gesticulate and masturbate and do whatever else we want about projecting, right? We could project all we want all over the rest of the teams, but I guess that's okay. I'm not. But let's talk about what the Jets have control over, which is the Giants game today. They're going to have to bracket Beckham. I still don't even think it's going to work. I think all you could really do is limit him at this point. Maybe not stop him. You're not going to stop him, but you could limit the damage, and you could make Eli try to have Reuben Randall beat you and Dwayne Harris beat you. And I'm not sure if Larry Donnell's in, but make him try to beat you.
Okay.
Also, the running game's not going to work. I mean, they really haven't been able to run all year, period, with Rashard Jennings and Andre Williams and Vereen. But you have to watch Vereen out of the backfield.
Right.
He's
a very good pass catcher out of the backfield. I do think that he'll give the Jets problems here and there as far as the pass catching ability, as far as being a safety outlet. But if you think about it, I mean,
who has been Eli Manning's safety blanket this year going into this game? This is actually going to be a very, very interesting matchup because
it's back up. That's his safety blanket. When you look at his targets, I think it came from ESPN Stats or one of these accounts that tweeted out the first like six or seven games he targeted Beckham about 9.6 targets a game. The last four games he's targeted him over 15 times a game. So he's just going to that well, and he's going to continue going to that well.
Right.
What we need to do is be able to limit the damage. But, you know, I'm projecting this to be a higher score game than most people think.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Jets are also able to torch their secondary, which is not much of anything either.
Right.
They're not. Their secondary is nothing special.
Well, let's go over the inactives real quick. Jets inactives for today. Calvin Pace is still questionable with an abdominal strain. He has been lifted, though, as active for this one. The inactives, cornerback Darrell Revis with the concussion. Cornerback Marcus Williams with the, I believe, hyperextended knee. Is that the issue with him?
Yeah, he's out. He's doubtful, but I'm pretty sure he's out. Right?
Okay. Quarterback Bryce Petty, obviously, he's a healthy scratch. Linebacker Josh Martin, he's a healthy scratch. Tackle Ben Ajulana, he's a healthy scratch. Guard Dakota Dozier, he's a healthy scratch. And, of course, safety Deion Bailey. Deion Bailey, coming off the shoulder injury, I believe. Now, for the Giants inactives, which is going to be interesting, is your offensive tackle Newhouse, okay, their safety Merriweather, linebacker Kennard, tight end Donnell, wide receiver Davis, defensive end Selby, and offensive lineman Cleary. So, you know, again, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, they're down two offensive linemen. And you saw last week that Washington was able to capitalize on that. They made it a game towards the end, but really Washington was snuffing them out. Eli had a classic Eli game where he threw three picks in the first half, I believe, and he didn't really turn it on until the second half. If the Jets D-line, and I say this every week, if they could get to the quarterback, guess what? I don't know if they're able to get to the quarterback, but if they can't do it this week, they can't do it, period.
Well, they need to. I mean, one of the things that's been lacking, but we started to see a little bit more of it last week, was, again, you know, the pass rush being listed. You know, again, it's going to be interesting to see if the Jets can get to Eli Manning. If the Jets can get to Eli Manning, this is going to be a very, very interesting game because of the fact that Eli Manning does not like to get hit. You know,
likes to get hit? I mean, come on. No quarterback likes to get hit.
No, listen, the only quarterback that I've ever seen that can still take a pounding and can still deliver a strike is Ben Roethlisberger. That's why I call him the big lumbering fucking idiot back there, okay, because Ben Roethlisberger took hits from the Jets pass rush time after time after time after time and still managed to freaking complete a 3rd-and-13 to Hines Ward, which pretty much fucked the Jets in the ass and cost us a trip to the Super Bowl.
Speaking of fucking in the ass, Ben Roethlisberger apparently also likes to give poundings over and over and over again, too.
Yeah, yes, he does.
It's not too soon for that joke, okay?
Right.
All
right.
It's probably not safe for work either. But anyway, I digress. Yeah, you're right. I mean, no quarterback likes to get hit. But Eli, he has a tendency to have multi-pick games every now and then.
Right.
He had it last week. If we get some pressure on him, I think we could have it again. But we'll see. I don't think they're going to be able to run on us. I don't even think they're going to bother trying too
much. And I have to say one thing. You know, granted, they did have Deshaun Jackson. Deshaun Jackson burned them last week, burned the Jets second the Giants secondary last year. Last week, actually. I'm sorry. With a huge touchdown pass from Kirk Cousins. So Giants secondary, very, very susceptible.
Yep.
That should open some holes for Brandon Marshall and Eric Decker.
I fully expect them to go off. I fully expect – Fitzpatrick, you know what I'm going to tell you right now? He's going to have over 300 yards and three touchdowns today. Fitzpatrick.
Really?
Yep.
Nice.
Guarantee it. I book it. Just like I was right last week. Right?
Yeah,
pretty close to right.
Yeah,
I think the only thing I missed was Ivory didn't quite hit 100 yards.
Right.
But still –
yeah,
he came
close, and he actually – you know, one of the things, too, that I'm starting to see with Chris Ivory is that even though you see him position himself during the course of the game, where if that straight-ahead banging through the offensive line, banging through the defensive line doesn't work, you're starting to see him now back off a little bit, look for the outside runs and stuff like that.
That was my biggest.
Really, really nice runs. So – maybe he heard us talking about the 2 yards and a cloud of dust.
I fully think that Chris Ivory was listening to our show and saying, you know what? Maybe I should cut it outside. That's exactly what happened. Chris Ivory listened to us. He was like, you know what? Those two meatheads in Florida know what they're talking about.
Right,
I'm going to start cutting it outside now. But he didn't listen until halftime, which explains the first half.
Right.
Yeah, because the first half he was pounding into his own lineman's butt.
Right.
and that's the part that frustrates me. I think the matchup on paper, by the numbers, the Giants don't really give up a ton of rushing yards, but it's not because they're a good rushing defense. It's because their secondary is horrible. You don't bother to run.
Right, exactly.
But they are susceptible to the run, and it's a good matchup on paper for Ivory. I expect them to have a pretty good day, too. Maybe not 100 yards and touchdown, but he'll be up there. I think he can get one touchdown. This is going to be a high-scoring game, period. I mean, the Jets will be over 30 points. The Giants will probably be over 25.
Right. I actually think that this is this could end up, like you said, could end up in a shootout because of the fact that both secondaries, the Jets secondary, still banged up. The Giants secondary just hasn't really been performing. I mean, they've gotten torched on some really deep runs, and look who they really have had to play up against. I mean, they haven't played up against huge, tremendous matchups other than DeSean Jackson.
They got thrown by Kirk Cousins. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
By Kirk Cousins.
So, and I mean, DeSean Jackson, you know, you could tell that he's lost the step a little bit. I mean, he's not as explosive coming out of the gate as he used to be. So I still think that this is a very winnable game for the Jets. And will it take for them to put up 30-plus? Yes. You know, again, this could come on down to special teams. So, and, you know, again, the limiting of how much ODB is going to beat you. If you're going to let anybody beat you, let a Reuben Randle beat you. Let whoever else they have for wide receiver over there.
Yep. And coming in, I put out the question earlier today just from various folks. You know, what do you expect from today's game? And it's a lot of what we're talking about, right? Thank you for everyone that chatted with us earlier this morning.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot of, well, you got to contain Beckham. But watch out for Vereen, too. Defensively, you got to watch out for Jason Pierre-Paul and his mangled, you know, like three-digit hand or whatever. It looks like
right.
a walrus hand. But he's still dangerous, and he's getting better, so you got to watch out for him
right.
on defense.
And he hasn't lost a step. I mean, even with that club, you see him, like, karate chopping people with that club that he's got on his hand now, and he's still being able to get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's, you know, JPP is going to be JPP. I mean, he's probably going to get a share of hurries and knockdowns and stuff like that, but the trick is that you have to keep Fitzpatrick upright. And Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Quincy Enua, you know, they're going to have to do their parts and stuff like that. And I like the way how, you know, again, getting back to the Jets' offense, one of the improvements that I did see is that you saw Quincy Enua lining up more as a tight end than opposed to a wide receiver.
Well, he did that before he got suspended, too.
Right.
He did that early in the year. So now I want to ask the question to all of Jets' Twitter and everyone listening. Are we done with the Geno Fitzy debate now? Like, is that over with? Because I was sick of having that debate. And I think
it got put to bed
last week.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it'll for surely be put to bed again if Fitzy comes out and has a kick-ass performance today, which I believe that he will. I just don't see anything about the Giants' offensive pass rush that really really scares me to the point where you can throw on them, you should be able to run. You know, nobody runs on them, like you said, because they can pass all over them.
Yep.
So if the Jets could utilize, you know, a good combination of running and the passing and so on and so forth, I think they'll be rather successful. Let's go on to today's, today's predictions.
Right.
So since you won, you get to go first.
Well, I didn't win. We all won. The Jets fans won last.
Right, the Jets fans won.
The only person that lost is Bill Lazor.
Right.
He lost his job.
That's right.
He's like, oh, man, I'm fired. I didn't see this coming.
Exactly.
We've gotten almost everyone fired every time we played the Dolphins.
Pretty much.
All right, so predictions for today. I kind of already alluded to it. I'm going to say Jets win 35-25. I'll put it up. 35-28. I think the Giants will score, but I think we'll score more. We're going to see a lot of Decker, a lot of Marshall. Ivory will get in there, too. Kind of a sneaky guy that I like for the Jets as well is Devin Smith. He's going to have a few catches.
Oh,
yeah. His
yeah.
first touchdown last week.
That's right.
Kudos to him. And defensively, I wanted to call out the switch they made with Copeland being out. You saw more of a Catapano, I believe he is.
Right.
And a little bit more Trevor Riley, a little bit more Maldon. And it showed.
Yeah,
it showed.
I like the fact that Lorenzo Maldon is starting to get more and more involved in the defense. He's getting in there in the pass rush and so on and so forth. You know what? I have to agree with you. I just don't see anything. I think statistically, as evenly matched as these teams are. And
I don't think they are. I think talent-wise, bar none, Jets are better. Pure talent, better. Better wide receiver core. It's close on the quarterback thing. Better running backs. better secondary, better offensive line, better defensive line, but hell, better linebackers. I mean, everywhere you look, the Jets are more talented than the Giants, period. Period. End of discussion. We should win this game.
Yeah, I agree. We should win this game. So I think that Jets pass rush will find a way to get to Eli Manning. Jets secondary will find a way to kind of neutralize Odell Beckham Jr. He's still going to get his catches. I wouldn't be surprised if he's
He'll be over 100. Just pure volume alone dictates
he'll definitely have 6 for 155 and one touchdown.
Wow. That's a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, did you see – I want to spend a few minutes now. You want to get your prediction out of the way?
Yeah.
And then we'll talk – because I want to talk about last week a little bit. Because everyone's flying high that we did great, but there were some deficiencies I want to
– Right. There were a lot of deficiencies. So, all right. But anyhow, we are coming up against it. So, real quick, my pick for today – I kind of like the 35 number. I believe that the Jets are going to have to score 35 and above, so I'm going to go 38-33 New York Jets today in a wild one.
Yep. So we're in agreement.
Both Brandon Marshall, Chris Ivory, and Eric Decker all going to be over 100 yards today. Chris Ivory going to get that. He's finally going to break that C note rushing. Brandon Marshall, definitely, I easily give him 7 catches, 145, 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
Eric Decker easily.
Another bell or so.
Yeah,
yep.
he's easily going to get 107, 7 receptions, 107 for maybe a touchdown.
That's oddly specific. Like 107, you just landed on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I definitely expect some big things from the Jets offense because – This Giants secondary, this Giants defensive line is beatable. So, all right, brother, we got about 3 minutes left. Shoot, you said you wanted to talk about that.
I mean, you know, you noticed big time when Marcus Williams went out in the second half of
right.
that game how bad the Jets played against the Dolphins.
Right.
I mean, Devontae Parker lit us up. Landry went wild.
Right.
You know, I mean.
So, and you can't even make the excuse that it happened during garbage time because of the fact that.
I mean,
Marcus
it was
Williams,
garbage time, but
right.
still. You need to clean that up. That score was, I think we won, you know, like 35-20 or something,
yeah.
right around there. But it should have been by 4 touchdowns.
Right.
Like, they got back into that because we couldn't cover. And we knew they were throwing. We couldn't cover them anyway.
Right.
And that is scary. Because
they started playing prevent defense,
yeah,
which is something that irritates me.
No. Well, yeah, but, you know, what else were they going to do? Because they're not getting to the quarterback. They're not. So, yeah, you have to kind of play safe. And they still couldn't stop him to save their life. In the second half.
I would have blitzed the shit out of him. I mean, the same way that they were intense in the first quarter, they would have been the same intensity I would have had in the fourth quarter. I wouldn't have given Tannehill a chance to sneeze, let alone get that ball out.
I had moved on from that game. Like, okay, we won, blah, blah, blah. And then I see score. Like,
right.
Oh, shit, I got to watch.
Well, they actually had it on network television, and in the middle of the third quarter, they freaking shut it off. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. This is bullshit.
I know. Because it started getting interesting again. Not in a good way. Not in a good way. Anyway, yeah, we only got a couple minutes. I just wanted to point out that not everything was rosy last week, because I think a lot of people gloss over that just because of the big win and everything. It was good, but there are things that worried me about the end of that game that are carrying over into this game to start with. The coverage. I mean, we're already trash covering running backs out of the backfield anyway on the pass, and now you get rid of Revis and Williams? Ugh. Walls was, you know, he was okay last year, but he's been horrible when he has had time this year. And Milner, I don't know if he's going to be able to go. McDougal, I'm not putting much trust in him. Hopefully Screen could do some damage. It's good that we have Pryor. Did you see that hit Pryor did last week? First quarter, just knocked out Rishard Matthews. He cracked his ribs on that hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it was perfectly legal, and I loved it.
Right.
Louisville slugger.
So, all righty, we got about a minute here. So, nevertheless, I just want to thank everybody for taking the time to listen to us today. I hope we got your tailgate off to a great start today. Jets-Giants, again, 1 p.m. today. Let's go, Jets. By all means, make sure to follow us on Twitter at CNC Jets Factor. Follow the Facebook page. Like the Facebook page. CNC Football Factory at Facebook.com. Don't forget to shoot us an email. CNCFootballFactory@gmail.com.
That's right. And one quick thing. I was watching Peyton Manning and the Broncos earlier this week, and I was thinking – this is the jingle going on in Manning's head. Brock Osweiler took my job.
I like that. There we go. Started all of Jets Nation. All righty. So, for Carlos, the Kristaps Porzingis, Sardinas. I am CJ DeSimone. This has been the CNC Football Factory. We will see you guys next week.